I'd like to read now Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, with special emphasis upon verse 6. I'd like us to underscore that particularly. And there are two major things for us to look for. First of all, notice the doctrine, the doctrinal statement or the truth that we are free from the law. Watch how clearly that will be stated. Then number two, let's notice the practical part of this and notice how we are to serve or how to live. Romans chapter 7, the first six verses. Do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during his life? Thus, using an illustration now, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning her husband. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. So let's apply that illustration now. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive. And here's why, here's the practical part, so that we should serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. Well, let's call this sermon, The Spirit with Which We Serve. I'd like us to see, first of all, how we should not serve, and then let's see how we should serve in this new life of the Spirit. Now, the word serving, of course, means basically how we live, the way we do things, how we go about our activities, our attitude toward God and toward others. And if we serve in the spirit of the law, we're in trouble. Now, Paul points out two things that are wrong with serving under this old written code, that we serve not under the old written code. Now, the first thing that's wrong with it, it's old. Now, of course, not everything that's old is bad. Some things that are old get better. But in contrast, it means that we are facing something that lacks life. It's boring. It's lifeless, in other words. It's worn out by time and use. In the scriptures, this same word translated old is used of old clothing. That's become threadbare, and it's shiny, and it's doesn't cover you adequately. It's old. It cannot add to the renewal of man. And that's what we need, is something that renews us and give us life. And the law can't do that because it's old. It lacks the capacity for renewal and for change. Second thing about this, it's written. It is a written code. Literally, it means it's a letter or it's a thing written. Now, anytime you have something that's written, a code or a written code, you have two problems. Now, first of all, it's a code. And by a code, we simply mean rules. How do you like living by rules, especially external rules, a set of rules that are handed down to you? We just don't like it. You can't run, say, your family, your personal relationships by a set of rules. You cannot live life at a high personal loving level with a code, with rules. We simply can't do that. We only yield to grace. We do not yield to codes. Now, if we want to have an external discipline of the inner life of the Spirit, that's another matter. But if you're talking about a written set of rules and regulations, human free human people don't respond well to that. We only yield to grace. And then secondly, when a thing is written, it's always external to us. And anything that's external to us has no power to get inside us. It has absolutely no power. That was what was wrong with the law of Moses. A very good law, but it was written on tables of stone. And there it is with this wonderful moral standard, but it has no power to get inside my heart and to energize me. It cannot be written on my inner life. So anytime you have an old written code, you can be certain that it's not the best way to serve. Now, if you're living under an old written code, you've got a couple of problems here. I like to call this, by the way, for sake of memory, the DTs of the law. Have you ever heard about the DTs? When a fellow is given over to the power of alcoholism or drugs, he gets what we call the DTs. Well, the DTs of the law are, first of all, the demand, and then second, the threat. The law is binding, it says, on a person. A married woman is bound to the law. So to be under the law means that we are under the constant sense of duty and claim. And that's an awful thing, to live your life with a demand. If you're under the law, you feel that demand upon you. And that's a very uncomfortable feeling. Now, the second thing is the threat of the law, the DT. Notice Paul says in chapter 7, verse 3, she will be called an adulteress. That is, under the law, she would be threatened. So, under the law, you have the idea of condemnation or punishment. You have the threats of the law. And the law is full of all kinds of solemn warnings and threats against death. I'd like us to note, by the way, the practical ways that we can spot ourselves when we serve under the old written code. You know, some people really don't know when they're under the law, the spirit of the law. They really don't. So here's the way you can spot it. You can always tell when you're serving under the old written code this way. Number one, when you tend to overly stress life as a duty, when you feel that life is an obligation, and when you have this attitude about yourself and others, you can be sure that you're under the law. In other words, you stress duty beyond personal relationships. And then secondly, you can always spot it when things must be right. Notice I said they must be right. I think that's a very important thing. Now, we all want things done right. We're not talking about minimizing right or goodness. But it's so easy for a person under the law, with a conscience bound under the law, to be more concerned about the right than about people. You know, Jesus had to fight with this thing all of his ministry. He fought that attitude, I think, above everything else, because the Pharisees were so right. They made man for the Sabbath. But Jesus came along and shattered all this false thinking. And that, by the way, infuriated others. I have a little statement that's very meaningful to me, that Christians do not do things right, but they do right things. Now, that's not original with me. It's a little statement out of management, that good managers do not do things right, but they do right things. That's the difference between Christianity and religion, or that's the difference between law and grace. So things must be right. I might add, by the way, they must be right or else. It must be right or it deserves our anger. We get upset if it's not right. We drive people out of the church. We drive children out of our homes. But it's going to be right. Well, that's the way you can spot a conscience bound under the law. When somebody is under the old written code, it must be right, and it must be right or else. It's important when we get to the point where we're not fussy perfectionists, and we learn that our relationship with God is far more important than our blamelessness before Him. But let's see how we are to serve. That's what we're really after. And here's this beautiful, beautiful phrase that ought to drill itself in our hearts and minds. We do not serve under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. I just love to say that phrase. We serve in the new life of the Spirit. Now here also we have two ideas. First of all is this newness, the new life of the Spirit. There's something exciting about that, isn't there? Fresh and spontaneous. You know, the excitement ought not go out of our Christian life. In the Holy Spirit and by the resurrection of Jesus, there's a kind of a creative newness about the work of God in us. We serve with that spiritual excitement as the Holy Spirit keeps it new and alive and fresh. Then it says it's in the new life of the Spirit. And of course that means the Holy Spirit. But we need to be practical here and see what we mean by the new life of the Spirit. Because you know the Spirit is also a very practical concept, because the Spirit is always talking about the kind of life that the Holy Spirit brings, or that is a life level. And the most important concept of the life of the Spirit is freedom. You serve with an exciting freedom. We serve in this new, wonderful freedom in the Holy Spirit. You know, the more you go up in life, the higher you go up in life, the chain of life, the freer it becomes. Take, for example, the mineral kingdom. There's a certain amount of life there, but you have the static quality of life. Then you come on up to plants, the plant kingdom. Here you have a little more bending and freedom, as it were. When you get up to the animal world, all that much more freedom. By the time you reach man, however, you have a being who is made for freedom and can never be happy and satisfied without freedom. But when you reach the level of the Spirit, there's where you reach absolute and perfect freedom. The Holy Spirit has that beautiful, wonderful freedom. And so we serve in the new life of the Spirit. Now, how can we be free from the law? How can we know and be certain that we are not under the law? How can we be free? Well, it's important for us to see that we are not under the law. Paul says three things about this, and he really uses kind of word pictures or illustrations. The first might be from the employment agency. He says a couple of times here that we are discharged from the law. Notice verse 2. He says that this wife is discharged from the law concerning her husband. And he says down here in verse 6, but now we are discharged from the law. In ancient times, if a Greek man was unemployed, this word applied to him. He was not working. He wasn't operating. The word here is argos. We get our word energy from that word, or erg. It means a thing that works, but here it is not working. This Greek word, and it's a tiny bit technical, but it's worth passing along. The Greek word is katargos. You add a prepositional prefix to that word, working or not working, and it's an intensification. It means it is utterly powerless, empty, abrogated, canceled, brought to an end, destroyed, annihilated. We are not under the law. We are discharged from the law. We are free from it, utterly free. The law is not working. It is unemployed. And the second word is free. We are free from the law. This is a figure of speech taken from the realm of slavery. In ancient times, slaves were the property of their masters. They were like captives. They were subject to them in submission to their masters. But we are free from the law, like a slave who has been redeemed from an old master. We are set free. We are free men. And then if that isn't enough, Paul uses a word from the funeral. He says we're dead to the law. We are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive. That's a very strong term. We're dead to it. It doesn't exist for us anymore. By the way, notice Paul says that we are dead through the body of Christ. That's a very interesting phrase. He says that let's make that verse 4. You are dead to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit from God. You see, the Apostle Paul won't let us get very far away from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to see how important it is to keep close to Jesus Christ in being delivered from the law, because we are dead to the law through the body of Christ. And that means that the death of Jesus Christ ended the law for us. I tell you, that's a wonderful thing to know. How wonderful to know that we have full emancipation from the law. I don't think we'll ever grasp this glorious freedom that comes to us until we know that we are not under this claim, not under this law. We are free by the Lord Jesus Christ. In one of his books, the famous writer, Watchman Nee, has a kind of a daring statement, but I think I'd like to use it here in a summary and concluding fashion. Watchman Nee has this to say: what does it mean in everyday life to be delivered from the law? Well, at the risk of a little overstatement, I reply, it means that from henceforth, I am going to do nothing whatever for God. I am never again going to try to please Him. Now, don't misunderstand that. You've got to grasp the spirit and the intent of this in light of this message. But translated, this is what that means. You know, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to be perfectly relaxed. I'm not going to be a fussy perfectionist, all hung up on doing right, and that's all I know and understand. But I'm going to know that I have been raised from the dead and that I can have fruit for God. I can live my life married, as it were, to the Spirit of God, to our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has ended that kind of a life for me. I don't serve under the old written code, but I serve in the new life of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful way to live. May Jesus Christ teach it to us by His Spirit and by His Word.